Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
Biz for Good.
Welcome to the Biz for Good show. Welcome, welcome. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, along with the Ryan Pilkington. I'm clicking, I'm hitting the mic, I'm doing all kinds of Okay, folks, we'll calm down. Breathe deep. Of course, we have an amazing guest today, Ryan.
Amazing.
Tell us about our guest today, Ryan.
You betcha. Today in the B4G studio, we have Travis Heisel, and he is the founder and board chair of Legacy Initiative, a Utah grassroots nonprofit that does outreach to Salt Lake City homeless. We'll be talking with him about this and much, much more on the Biz for Good show today on episode 43 with Travis Heisel. Kindness Without Conditions is the title of the show today.
Kindness without conditions. I bet we're going to talk about that, aren't we?
We will. Dun, absolutely
dun.
Will.
Yes.
Awesome. He's going to take it on. He's sporting the Superman suit.
He's got a superhero
Superman shirt
on.
So we're good. We're good to go.
Ooh, and that's so fitting. After our last episode, we went to Ragnarok, Thor's Ragnarok, yeah. And we visited. There was a Emily Hayes Holmes invited us to the movie, the premiere. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I have not yet, so no spoilers.
Oh, yeah, man. No spoilers. All I can tell you is it's one of my favorites. It's freaking hilarious.
That's what I'm hearing.
I love superhero shows to not take themselves too seriously, and this totally hit the mark. It was just fun. It's a fun movie. It's what superhero shows should be, in my opinion.
And today we have a superhero in the studio.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he said he doesn't take himself seriously either.
No, not at all.
All right.
Very good.
All right, and the show is brought to you by
EFL 360. EFL360.com. Entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a founder, if you're a leader, if you're somebody that wants to start a business and needs some tools or want to take your tools to the next lever? The next level. Come to EFL 360 weekly. That's every Thursday from 4 to 6 at the Miller Incubator in the Corporate Partnership Building on the third floor. EFL360.com.
And you can check out all their live streams on Facebook.com/
EFL360. Also, Speak Up. Professional Speakers Studio, speakupspeakers.com. If you want to be a speaker, if you are a speaker, if you want to take your speaking to the next level, if you know you have a message inside you that you want to get out and make an impact with instead of just getting up and speaking data, come to Speak Up, where we specialize in ripping your message out of you and getting it all over people. speakupspeakers.com. Tonight, well,
they're doing a thing tonight.
Yeah, we're doing a thing. Story Magic. If you're interested, come to Story Magic and learn how to tell a story.
Check them out on the website.
SpeakUpSpeakers.com.
All right, Biz for Good show is a fun podcast that dives deep and interviews like-minded, passionate people doing good in business and other organizations and promotes true success, that the true success is love.
True success is love.
So you can go to...
Unconditional love.
Yeah. Without conditions.
Yeah, that's. I figured I'd throw that in because that's the theme. See, you I'm can, thinking ahead.
Yeah, he's doing good.
Oh, okay. That was a great segue right there.
Boom, ba-chow. You can go to facebook.com/bizforgoodshow. We have live streaming every Thursday at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you want to check out his goofy faces and see what we're doing, or yep. We're actually handsome.
Oh, yeah, we're beautiful people. We're all beautiful people.
We're all beautiful. All right. We'll go into the show with the biz hack or the tip of the day. We turned it over to our guest today here, Travis, and he said...
Tip of the day is the oxygen mask principle.
The oxygen mask.
Self-care. It's all important. So I'm, as I say this, I'm sitting here with a a raging head cold, and my chest is on
it's
fire.
Completely congested.
Popping the Altoids.
This wonderful, deep, crackly voice.
You're always like that. You just tell me, I always sound like this. That's my...
So if you're out there trying to save the world, you got to take care of yourself first, because you can't help anyone if you can't help yourself first.
Ah, so true.
Yeah. Reminds me of a gentleman I know. He owns a restaurant, a Thai restaurant, and he's paying for a lot of his family members. He went to America. He wanted to be successful, and I went and met with him the other day, and he likes to talk, so we talked and talked. But the one thing he kept saying is, I like to give to my family. I like to give to my... He's from Thailand. So as he was talking about this, he's like, I need to take care of myself, though. And I thought, you know, he does put a lot of energy in helping his family and those in need. But, yeah, like you're right, sometimes we're out saving the world. We do need to take care of ourselves.
You do, yeah. You can do much more if you take care of yourself. Much more. I love it.
Fend off burnout. Burnout is so huge in the nonprofit world. You've got
to care
for
yourself.
It's a lot
of work. You've got to really believe and have the passion for it to keep going.
Absolutely.
And we commend you for that.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're going to tune into the good news. It's called Chairs Along the Way. We're going to actually share an audio clip with you today. It'll say it a lot better than I can say it.
All right. And it'll also be on the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, we'll put it on.
And the links in the notes, show notes.
You betcha. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Ready.
95-year-old Harvey Jerp gets around.
I think it's 0.7 miles.
But not without a little help from his neighbors.
There's my number one chair. I stop and rest more often, and the neighbors have noticed Harvey stopping by and taking his breath. So then they've been putting out different chairs and inviting me to sit and take a rest.
The World War II veteran says the chairs along his walk help him keep his pace.
How are you?
Good.
Nice to see you. It's a wonderful experience, and it's a social experience, and I get to know the neighbors when they get to know me.
He's been walking the almost 1 mile route twice a day for 65 years.
Whoa.
My wife said years ago, I'm antsy, I can't sit still.
And it's a great way to get to know his community. A
nice day, isn't
yeah,
it?
Good huh? to see you.
Nice. Maybe even motivating some along the way.
When they see Harvey go by twice a day, they figure that they should get out and walk themselves.
Walking a mile in this inspiration's shoes might just be worth trying. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Kelly Nealon.
Oh, that's awesome. Super cool.
Yeah.
I love it hearing when people that are over 90 that are out doing stuff and you know, staying relevant. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I just want to be alive at 90.
Well,
doing something impressive.
I don't know. I always say, you know, if I live to be 90, I don't want to be comatose.
Yeah.
I would like to be functional, you know, and being able to do something. And that's just a beautiful example of getting out there and doing. And he's an inspiration. That's the cool part. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go for a walk today. But I'm a 95-year-old, you can do it and have fun, and I can.
That's right.
And I have a dog, so I shouldn't have no excuse.
How you been doing on the walking?
Good. I walk every day.
Awesome. Love it.
All right, we have the quote of the day, and we'll go ahead and have Travis read that to us, and we'll go into
did
it.
Did you tell him that ahead of time?
Yes,
he did.
Oh, where was I?
I don't know. You were here somewhere.
I think you were tapping on the table or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Quote of the day. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody.
Be somebody that makes everybody feel like somebody. What do you think of that?
That is exactly what we should all be doing. It's exactly what we're talking about today. The theme of the day is that kindness without conditions.
Yeah.
Just spread that stuff everywhere.
Yeah, just being an example of good. I mean, we talk about it on the show, and we've had every kind of person on the show. We've had all kinds of businesses and nonprofits and everything in between. But it always dives back down into just being good to people. Just being good to your fellow human beings. It's really not rocket science or craziness, but it always comes back to that.
It's exactly what our world needs right now. We're in some weird times, people. And more than anything, we need this kindness. We need to be treating each other like we matter.
And I know I've said this many times on the show, but you know, if we watch the news, we think the whole world is crap. I mean, the news just does not, you know, regular news does not show us the good stuff that's going on. There still are powerfully great, amazing people out there doing really good things, and for whatever reason, it's not good enough to be on the news.
Well, I was told many times that for a story on the news, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
It bleeds, it
and
leads.
Unfortunately, there's so much good in the world. And there are people standing up for
it. If it makes you smile, that should be your number one dial.
I like where you're going with that, though. I can see. If it makes you smile, give stay it for a while.
Yeah, there you go. We'll figure
you're
it out.
A poet. Didn't even know it.
We're not a poet. Nope.
All right.
Not so much.
Well, that concludes our segments of the day. We'll go ahead and turn it over for Bob James.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the interview segment of the show. Welcome.
Yeah. Next season, we're going to have a button, an audience.
I'm going to buy just a goofy button we can put up to the mic and go.
Throw some drops.
Actually, and then we're going to have the guest do the buttons.
That would be disastrous.
Yeah, it'll be horrible. So it'll be great.
It's good that you're doing that later.
It's good that you're doing that. Should I push a button now? Okay, maybe we should rethink that. You might be right.
Is there a fart button on that?
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure there is. I mean, it wouldn't be a sound button without the fart sound. I mean, come on.
All right, and then because I'm 12. We're going to be talking about good things.
Yeah, well, of course we're going to be talking about good things. Let's ask the first question. So tell us about you. Tell us what's going on. Let us get to know you.
I'm first and foremost, I'm a human.
Human being.
All right.
So you're...
That's let's always get awkward this, oh, just to talk second. About yourself, isn't
Let's get this
it?
Straight. You're not an alien from another planet or anything like that.
No, despite the shirt. Yeah, that's
Elel from, what's his planet?
No,
dang
man.
It.
Krypton.
Yeah,
Krypton.
That's right. Gosh, I just let down all of the comic folks out there. Sorry.
Yeah, you just carved a hole into my soul right there. My little geek heart is bleeding.
I knew his name was Elel, though. That's got to give me something.
It's Kal-El.
Oh,
Kal-El.
Okay, I'm fired. I'm fired.
Utah, the geekiest state in the country, and you're
I'm from Texas. Does that help?
You're still not getting a pass.
No
pass.
My geek card has been revoked. Tell us about you,
or
tell
anything you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, well, no, he's got to tell us about him about first. You. Yeah, no, yeah, right.
Whatever that looks like.
Yeah, whatever that looks like. Just know it's going to thousands of people through the internet.
Japan. So no pressure here. talk about me. Wow. I don't like talking about me because it always feels so awkward.
Yeah, it's okay? True.
I prefer putting my focus on other people.
That shows the character, though.
Yeah, that says something. But yeah, you're on the show, so you have to.
It shows my avoidance of my insecurities and such.
So did you grow up here? Maybe we just ask questions.
Yeah, I grew up in Utah. We, as a kid, we moved around quite a bit, but I finally settled
in Utah or all over?
All over the West. Mostly in Utah. Yeah, that's a podcast foul right there.
Yeah, we don't edit that stuff either. That was just a sound effect, folks.
Yeah.
So, I call Richfield my hometown.
Richfield, okay.
Richfield, down
right
south.
Down in the center of the state.
Yeah, oh. Richfield.
The hub of Utah.
Really? It's the hub.
I think it is.
It's his hub.
It's his hub. What did you do for fun in Richfield? Or did you say Richfield?
Richfield. You know, growing up in Richfield, there wasn't a great deal of things to entertain a young person, so we became really good at entertaining ourselves.
Cow tipping?
So, no, that's cruel, man. You can injure them. I wouldn't do something like
that. Yeah, that's horrible. No, gosh, Ryan. Jeez.
We became known for...
Biz for bad.
Some of my buddies, we became known for creative dates. We do things like washing stop signs. I kid you not. Like, you'd hoist your date up on your shoulders, and we'd go around town and wash the stop signs.
Dude, that is goodness. The coolest thing ever.
Instead of spray painting them?
Yeah, you know.
Wow, yeah. Or shoot them.
Or shoot them? Stuff.
Yeah, you wash them wash and them. Make it not... Man, so at an early age, yeah, you were giving like, back, it sounds like.
I don't know. We just thought it was a fun, wacky idea that wasn't harming anything. And strangely, we're doing this, and one of the local police officers comes up. He's like, what are you kids doing? You can't be doing this. Like, well, we're cleaning the signs. Why? Why not?
Because they're dirty.
This is fun.
They're dirty.
That is the best story ever.
Shook his head, wandered off. We just went back to it. We're all covered.
You should have arrested him for being silly.
Biz for bad. Yeah, my wife used to be, she had a, where we used to live, she had a little graffiti removal group where they would go out, you know, the whole, her little group would go out and they'd go around and find graffiti and they'd get paint and stuff and remove her from the police. You can go get that stuff and they'll give it to you and you can go out and they'd paint over the graffiti and it was, it's cool to do things like that just to get a part of community and connection and. But you were doing that at 16?
Yeah, no, well, we weren't thinking that we were doing something for the community. It was just...
Something you wouldn't get in trouble for.
Something that we would not get in trouble for. Something that nobody else was doing. And just to be wacky, you know, we...
And specifically on a date. I would think that your date would be going, wow, this guy's different.
Yeah. We're going to watch signs. Like,
but why? Like,
I would love that. I yeah, think that was.
Hey, next week
we're gonna go wash signs. That should be one of the good files right there. Is go wash signs.
Wash cars
on the highway. That would be fun. Oh, on the top signs on the highway. That might make a really interesting show.
Oh my goodness! Anything else before we go on to the next question?
Or? Yeah, we can move on.
We
don't want to talk about my youth too much because that's the highlight right there. Everything else just goes down.
Everything else goes down. How'd you end up here?
Oh, life changes. You know, a failed marriage brought me up this way. Huh? My boy's mother lived up this way and moved up this way to...
Be closer.
To be near my boys, and you know that turned out to be a good thing. I have custody of them now, and one of the rare dads, you know, of that kind of a situation.
Sure.
And so, and you know, I just stayed here because I like it. You know, Salt Lake City and the Wasatch Front. It's a cool place.
It is a cool.
It's a cool place. We've got some really, really great people. The local culture is really fun.
Yeah, really it is. I think people don't realize, especially out of Utah, they don't realize that it's actually pretty cool, I think. Pretty hip in some
downtown
ways.
Downtown scene's getting more hip, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got some great stuff here.
The food is amazing.
The food's great. We've got great local breweries, if you're a person that partakes
does breweries.
Of that.
They've got a lot of breweries.
The art scene here.
Come to Salt Lake City, cool. Folks. You're missing out.
Salt Lake City.
Come see all the things.
Yeah, there is a lot. It really is a cool, interesting culture here. It's different. Cool.
All right, we'll move on to the next question.
Oh, the big
what
question.
What does Biz for Good mean to you?
You know, I wasn't really... aware of your show until I met you guys at that concert, and I've checked out a couple episodes. I'm like, you know, these guys are doing something cool because there's a lot of it's a really cool, like I said, like we said before, it's a really cool community here, and I like how you guys are seeking these people out. And I guess we were talking earlier off air before this all started about making connections, and I think that's the coolest thing. That
for sure.
It is.
I think what you're doing is as important as the people that you interview. Oh, you know, weaving these people together and getting that's how like cool things get done. When people get connected, even more cool things get done.
True.
That's taking it to 11.
We like 11. We like 11. We tried the 11 challenge, the wind coop challenge. Unfortunately, I only got to 4. It's hot. It's hot. Oh, I will never do that again, just so you know. And I like hot stuff, but that was lava in my mouth. It was not good. They got the 11.
It was lava the next day.
Oh, it was. And I've said this before. You know, you expect it from the back end, but not the front end being painful. Not. I'm just number one. I'm just saying it's hot. I'm just saying it's hot. I did not expect. Nobody told me. They told me about the back end.
It all burns.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to do that again.
So, I do owe Bobby, and I'm going to do the next challenge.
Yeah, so. He's going to do the sushi one. He's going to do the sushi one. The hot sushi
he went
sushi
sideways one. Really quick right there.
But you're right. It,
connections. Relationships.
Yeah, nobody does anything without relationships.
And I think
nothing gets done.
When we have our guest on the show, it's an opportunity where we get to exchange. Like, I get to learn about you. You get to learn before the show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got relationships outside of this podcast from those guests.
We do.
And it's amazing. So thank you. For
it really is.
What,
secular?
360.
Circular?
360.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. That. 360.
It goes around.
Yeah. It where the connections, you never know what. I mean, we meet different people different ways. I mean, I love it. You know, we were with good friends, and we met you guys, and we're like, wow, you're doing cool stuff here. Be on the show. And yeah, it's just fun how that all
separation,
works.
And it's fun when those little walls break down, and we get to make these connections that we might never have made, even though we know people in common.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is the secret sauce. The relationships is the secret sauce. I remember remember Dave Bradford. That was one of our old interviews with Dave Bradford. He was the CEO of this giant tech company, and Steve Wozniak was his science person. And he said that it boils down to the people. It boils down to the people and the relationships you make. He's always interested in meeting new people and making new connections. And ever since, everybody keeps coming back to that. It's
kind
of
what life's all about.
It
is about the people.
There you go.
That's what gives us. You know, a lot of us gives a lot of fulfillment. It's those relationships that make life meaningful.
So tell us how you guys came to create the what's it?
The Legacy Initiative?
Yes, the Legacy Initiative. So, because I have assume it's about that. You guys got together, friends, or I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And so tell us about it.
So it began with relationships, and that's what sustained the organization. So we started in early 2012, and it was a group of friends. It was my best friend Ted and I. We went to high school together, and several other friends. It was our little social group, and it was 9 of us that met in my living room. And we
9 of you got together to do this,
and bounce some ideas, and decide we wanted to do something. Good for the community. We want to do something that would make a difference. And we wanted to make a mark. We wanted to do something that would outlive all of us. And so that's why we decided to call it Legacy Initiative, as we wanted to create a legacy. We wanted something that we could leave behind. We wanted those little ripples in the pond that would echo out past all of us.
And so what did you guys decide? I mean, how did you decide this is what you're going to do? And explain what this is.
You formed it in 2012, right?
We did.
That's and still going strong? Changed it along the way? Have you done any pivoting?
Changed a lot. It's all been very organic. But we decided when we formed this, it was intentional that we wanted it to be organic. We started off with some ideas. And We knew that we were gonna go. Yeah, it is toasty in here.
Sorry, always something going on.
So
I'm cold.
So we bounced ideas, and we knew that we wanted to do some cool things. And we started off initially with food rescue, gathering food that from the grocery stores that was still good, but it doesn't meet optimal quality standards, so we set out to gather this food and redirect it to people in need. You know, knowing that food's just going to go to the dump, and at the same time, people are going hungry, and that just feels like a tremendous injustice. Hmm. So we began with that path. That was something that I'd done.
So that's how it started.
Ago. That's how it
started.
You're
going to go get food that they're going to throw away, and you're like, "Gosh, there's people out here that are hungry." So what'd you do when you got the food?
So then we began. So we were getting calls from the community, reports of families that were having a hard time and such, and we'd put together a food order and run out and go deliver it to them. Mm. And as we were doing this, we ended up getting a lot of tortillas from a local distributor, tortillas Sweet. And tortilla chips and such. And as we were doing these food deliveries, we had way more tortillas and tortilla chips and such that people were getting kind of tired of them. So it started being like the Bubba Gump thing from Forrest Gump.
Tortilla this, tortilla that.
Yeah, it's like tortilla soup, tortilla sandwiches, and quesadillas, and we're cutting the tortillas up to put on our salad. So we were at my house one night, and we had this pallet of tortillas in my garage, and we had one of our meetings, and we were going to go sit in the hot tub, and we're notorious for mixing our social life with our work, you know, because it's the relationships.
Absolutely.
That makes things fun.
For sure.
So we're walking out to the hot tub, and we're kind of giggling about this thing of this pallet of tortillas in there, and Kent, one of our founding members, is like, you know what we should do? We should make a whole bunch of burritos and go feed homeless folks. I'm like, dude, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm totally kidding. I'm like, no, dude, we're doing this. This is brilliant. So this was on a Friday night. On Sunday, we went out, a handful of us went out and scoped the downtown area and to see if, you know, how this we could do this, what we could do. And as we went out, we saw some church groups that were out, you know, doing service, providing meals and such. And we decided we wanted to do things a little different. You know, we saw, you know, and I don't want to speak ill, these, you know, they're doing wonderful things out there, providing for people. But as we saw how things happened there, we decided we didn't want people to come stand in line for their quote unquote handout. We wanted to deliver food to people in a method that also still has some dignity attached to it. Hmm. And we wanted a better experience, not only for the people that we serve, but for the people that are doing the serving. So the following Tuesday after that, I went down to Del Taco on Taco Tuesday, the $3-4 tacos, and spent $80 on tacos. And we went out with these tacos and bottled water and backpacks, and we did a beta test. So we went out on little squads out on the street to the people, rather than setting up tables and having people line up. Mm-hmm. We went out to the people, and they gave us this chance to interface with the people that we serve in a whole different way. We had the freedom to talk to people and hear their stories and to experience a little piece of you know, that a tiny little sliver of what they're experiencing. And it was a whole different dynamic than what we were even expecting. Our first outing was life-changing for me. We were out in we were finally winding down after walking for a few miles, passing out tacos, and we're down to the last few. And we get to Pioneer Park, and there's just a couple people. It's now evening, and it's starting to get dark. It's at dusk, and there's this little tiny, just frail little blonde lady, and she was having a really hard time. It was clear that she was very ill, and there was a fellow with her that was acting as her guardian. And as we talked to them, he had only known her a few days, but they had already bonded like family. Like, this little lady needs somebody to care for her, and she could hardly eat. She was shaking so bad, she was so weak. So she was leaning up against my leg. I knelt down, and she leaned back against my leg, and I was helping her to eat. This lady, like, she starts just crying, and she's like kissing my hand and, you know, like thanking me for this kindness that she hadn't experienced for such a long time. And to me, it was this weird, humbling experience that I'd never experienced in my life up until that. I didn't know, even now, it's hard to process and makes me kind of emotional. So I'm
it's making me emotional.
And it was a life-changing experience, that whole outing. So after that, there was, how do you not
continue,
get going, and how do you not build bigger after an experience like that? So it lit this fire inside of me. So it was 2 weeks later after that, we hit the streets with 850 homemade burritos.
Wow. And that upped it quite significantly.
And we've been going since.
So you do that every week?
So we do this the first Saturday of every month, unless there's an event that would detract from that, holidays or such, and then we'll move it to the second Saturday or whatever we need to do.
Yeah. And are you always looking for volunteers?
All the time. Anybody's welcome to volunteer with us. So we quickly grew from the 9 people to probably, I don't know, I haven't looked at our roster. I would speculate there's 1,500 or better on our roster at this point.
Really? 1,500 volunteers?
Last December, we had nearly 1,000 volunteers for this outreach. Goodness. Between our kitchen portion, because we make the burritos ourselves. We utilize, Jorge Fierro with Rico Brand Foods, he donates his kitchen space to us.
Oh. Wow.
So we had, I think, probably 200 volunteers in the kitchen portion of it. I'd have to go back and look at the roster.
Yeah.
And
what is that restaurant? Is it a restaurant?
This is Rico Brand. So you'll see their products in the...
So it's a manufacturing company.
Yeah. So it's attached to Frida Bistro. It's his other business. He also has his products at the farmers.
We like shout outs. We want to give a shout out.
Wonderful man. He supports us and another group that's very similar to us, that was founded by a high school classmate of Ted and I. Jorge is an amazing, amazing man. He might be somebody you might drag in here.
Yeah.
I would love
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Cool guy. So then at the street portion of this outreach in December, I think we had right around 700 or so people there. It was 980 people
handing out burritos and water.
It was off the hook. It was so crazy. The amount of volunteers, we decided we never wanted to do that again. That number of volunteers, wrangling that many people, it was so insane. We've actually had to cap the amount of volunteers that we have. We post up a sign up genius on social media. We actually have to cap it, because if the people we serve, it's intimidating, it's scary. If this huge group of people come rolling up on you, that can be terrifying, especially if it's somebody that's suffering from PTSD or or some mental health issues.
Sounds like you've learned a few things along the way.
Yeah, we break into little squads that cover specific geographic areas, and the ideal number for a squad is, 5 to 12 people. Mm. We like to keep that's kind of our sweet spot.
And you just have backpacks full of burritos?
Mm-hmm. So a company called Ergodyne donated these backpacks to us, these industrial-grade backpacks.
Say that again,
Ergodyne.
Is that a local Utah company?
No, they're from back east, and... They began as an industrial safety supply company.
Interesting.
And they donated these backpacks, and they donated our red team vests to us. So we use these backpacks, load them with the burritos, and
you have vests? Everybody has a...
So the vests are used for the red team, for our needle cleanup.
We cover that
after we...
talk about the burritos.
After we talked about the burritos. So we hit the streets, we pass the burritos out, and we visit with people. We pass out hygiene items, socks, coats, whatever seasonal items that need to go out, and whatever we have on hand.
Wow.
Can you briefly go into the cosplay? Because I think that's really cool, too.
So our cosplay team...
Where are you throwing that for? What? I didn't even know about this. Cool.
So cosplay, so we put a spin to it. So it's C-A-U-S-E. Cosplay.
Oh.
Instead of the C-O-S.
Because
we're clever like that. So this
marketing
team,
geniuses.
We make our own costumes. They need to be movie grade or better. Actually, better because they have to be cleaned. Hospital visits, care center visits, and such dictate that we have to be very, very hygienic, and our costumes have to be able to be cleaned. Mm. So we visit kids that are having a hard time with poverty or life-threatening illnesses. We'll do home visits, we'll do care center visits, hospital visits, we do community events, parades, school carnivals, school assemblies, wherever we're asked to be. And I'll have to show you guys some pictures when we get off here.
Can we have some pictures? Yeah, for our website and Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as much as you can. We did it.
That light.
There it is.
So that's one of my favorite projects. So I dress as Batman. That's what I'm most known for. And then I'm starting on a Superman suit now, and I've got a Wolverine suit.
I do the Grinch. Does the Grinch count as a superhero?
Yeah, why not?
That works.
Wow, I want to go with you guys as a Grinch.
That'd be fun. There's some events coming up with the holidays.
So. Yeah.
So yeah, anything you can promote right now?
Yeah. What? How can people get a hold of you? How can you know what? Do you get the word out to connect all that stuff? Tell us.
Our website is legacyinitiative.org. There's contact.
Legacyinitiative.org.
It's on our Facebook as well.
We're on Facebook as well. You can just search us up. And we have our calendar posted there. There's contact.
So everything they need portals. To know is on legacyinitiative.org.
There's portals that people can donate if they feel so inclined.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So,
did
awesome.
You guys have something to do with the what do they call it? Like... places to put stuff,
the Hope Lockers.
Yeah
So we partnered with Revolution United. It's a that nonprofit's closed up, they've boarded up, but we worked with them and built a trailer with 32 lockers on it designed for people experiencing homelessness to have a place to put their belongings while they go to medical appointments or job interviews. It's going to be hard for somebody to get a job if they're packing around all their belongings on their back.
Yeah. Wow, so that's cool.
It was secure storage. It's to put on a trailer so it can move from location to location.
We could seriously be here...
All day. Because this is exciting.
Just from your bio and everything, you've got the volunteers, the different teams that you have, the cosplay, the red team.
The red teams are...
The cleanup.
It's a neighborhood watch.
Explain that for a second. Talk about the red team just for a second.
Yeah, red team's another favorite. That's a pet project of mine, and it was one of the ideas in my head as this began. That was one of the ideas that was in my head that took a while to come to fruition. But it was I wanted to do something like neighborhood watch, but take it to the next level. And we're not talking vigilante or anything like that. I mean,
but we want to be out on the right.
Brother's keeper.
Wanted to be out there and to be seen. You know, that presence, the visibility is a good deterrent. But we wanted to do more than that. So we've engaged in needle cleanup and getting out on the streets and trying to get the paraphernalia and such off the ground and away from kids and such. So we'll go scour places where we know those things to be and clean them up. The patrol we were on before last, we cleaned up 441 needles.
Mm. Wow.
And then
one night?
Yeah, I think we were out for, I don't know, 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours.
And 400 and something needles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then we were out for an hour and a half the last time, and I think it was like 77 needles. I'd have to double check on my numbers, but it was right in their ballpark, right around there. And that was all in one location, that last one.
Amazing.
In one place we found that many.
Wow. Wow. So what's next?
Oh, boy. There's ideas in my head, but right now we're just building out what we have. We've had some shakeups and had a little bit of house cleaning and had some departures in some of our leadership. So we're shoring things up, And looking at how we train our leaders, we take the philosophy that that our leaders need to create other leaders. And so we're looking at our model of how we do this, how we empower our volunteers, but at the same time maintain the integrity of our organization, because we want our people to be empowered, but at the same time we are essentially a business, and we do.
So
have
do
to
you
keep
get paid? Do leadership get paid? Does it?
Is nobody there, gets. Nobody we, well, gets paid. We get paid in serotonin.
Right, absolutely.
There's absolutely no compensation for anybody volunteers.
So you must have a day job then.
Yes, we all have day jobs. We all have full-time day jobs, sure. Families,
this is
wives,
full-on good. This is all this is about. What's the title of the show?
Why do you put so much focus on compassion and also kindness without conditions?
Yeah, so the title of the show, Kindness Without Conditions, is that... That's one of our mottos. It's indicating this, the stance that we take of non-judgment, that we serve without conditions. When we're out on the street and we're serving people that are experiencing homelessness,
you just love them.
Yeah, we don't. So when we're out there, we ask our volunteers. You don't ask somebody if they're home. Oh, I unplugged my headphone.
We can still hear you.
So we don't ask. We don't ask people, are you homeless or anything like that? There's no conditions. Simply, are you hungry? We don't care if somebody is homeless or if they're not, if they're a college kid. It doesn't matter. Simply, are you hungry?
No judgment.
Can you benefit from this burrito? Or is there something, do you need some socks or something that we have
that you need? Cool.
And that's part of our philosophy, is this non-judgment of those that we serve, and we try to take the same stance amongst ourselves with our own team. We try to show this acceptance of each other for who we are and where we come from. So that's where that comes from. So
that's awesome.
Travis, it's been a delight.
Yeah,
likewise.
Thank you.
Impactful, very impactful, powerful, passionate person.
I still have hope for the human race.
And we're going to do a road trip on this one.
We absolutely are going to do a road trip and make some burritos.
We can talk about this in the studio, but getting out there.
And going and doing some work.
You want to cook some beans?
Yeah. I'll cook some beans. I'll peel some potatoes, whatever it takes, my friend.
Do you put potatoes in the burrito?
No.
I don't.
Beans, cheese,
I'll
and green
flip the tortillas.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, folks, thank you for being on the show. Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. And we always end with a hashtag, be good, do good. So hashtag,
be good, good, do good. Good.
Hashtag, be good, good,
do good.
Do good.
Hashtag, be good, do good.
All right, and that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.